It was the same with Adam and Eve in the garden when they were hiding. Do you remember? How did they come out of hiding? Simply this, the Lord called to Adam, "Where are you?" So the way in which God restores his own children who are covering up and hiding from him is he cuts through the hiding and he speaks through his word.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, it sounds like, since we're studying the life of David, we're talking about the time when the prophet Nathan comes and actually confronts David with his sin.
Yeah, that's right. And what's happening there is exactly the same as happened in the Garden of Eden, where the man and the woman had sinned, and then the word of God comes to them. God speaks, and he says, "Where are you, Adam?" It's a wonderful thing that although God's word exposes the dark places of our lives, when God speaks to his people, it's always in order to restore them. Hmm. It's a marvelous thing. Yeah. It's God's word heals and it restores. And we're going to see the way in which that happens in the life of David. And I hope it will be an encouragement to you today to see that God is in the business of restoring you. He doesn't want to leave you where you are. He reaches out with his word in order to bring you to the place where he calls you to be. And I hope and pray that that will be your experience as we get into the Word of God together today.
Well, we're going to get into 2 Samuel chapter 12, so grab a Bible and join us there as we continue the message, Repentance. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, Nathan speaks the Word of God to David, and he does it by presenting a story. Commentators often refer to what Nathan says here as a parable. But I want you to notice that Nathan does not say to David that it is a parable. Nathan presents this to David as an actual case on which David is being asked to pronounce judgment. Remember, David is the king, and that means he's the chief justice in the land. And so it would not have been unusual for situations of injustice to be brought to David for him to pass judgment and to announce a sentence. And Nathan comes, he doesn't say, "I've got a parable to tell you." He presents a case, and David is glad to hear the case. It's part of his job to hear cases like this. And so Nathan lays out this case. It is a case of two men in a certain city, and one is rich and the other is poor. And the rich man has many flocks and many herds. The poor man only has a single ewe lamb, which he loves greatly. The lamb eats the man's food, the lamb drinks from the man's cup, and the lamb lies in the man's arms. Well, a traveler arrives at the home of the rich man. And the rich man wants to entertain, welcome this traveler, and to lay on a feast for him. But he doesn't want to take one of his own lambs. He doesn't want to take from his own flock, and so he steals this dearly loved lamb from the poor man and uses that lamb to prepare the feast for himself and for the traveler. And as this case is laid before David, who is being asked to pronounce judgment on it, David becomes angry, more than angry, outraged. Verse 5, "And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man." It's amazing how angry we can become at our own sins when we see them in the lives of others, but we don't realize it's our own sins that we're actually seeing. And David says to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Now, that was more than the law demanded. If you check out the law of God on a situation like this in the Old Testament where there was the theft of a lamb, it's specifically addressed in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 1. If someone steals a lamb, then the restitution is that four lambs must be given back in its place. And so what David says here reflects the law of God. But there is nothing in the law of God that imposes the penalty of death for the theft of a lamb. Why does David say this? Because he's making a judgment out, not of justice, not out of the law of God, but out of pure anger. He was greatly enraged. And for this, I want to make this observation that is worth keeping in mind. If you are ever tempted to think that God's judgments are harsh, remember that the judgments of sinners are invariably harsher. God is just. A man would get justice from God, did not get justice from David. Now, Nathan then says to David in these extraordinary words, "You are the man." What a moment that was. David, this is actually a picture of precisely what you have done. And when you have said this man deserves to die, actually you have condemned yourself out of your own mouth, because your sin is not stealing a lamb. It is committing adultery and it is committing murder. And the death penalty is the penalty for that in the law of God. And finally, after months of silence and covering up and moving on and suppressing conscience, David says, "I have sinned against the Lord." And that confession was the beginning of repentance in David's life. What I want us to see at this point is this: that it was the word of God that broke through in David's life and brought about restoration when nothing else could. God's word got under the defenses of this man and brought about confession that was the beginning of repentance. Never underestimate the power of God's word. "My word will not return to me empty. It will accomplish the purpose for which I have sent it." And you know what? God's word can change your life from the inside out in a way that nothing else can. How does God restore? He speaks. Thank God, because otherwise David would just have remained as he was forever. Second, God disciplines. And this is a very important part of how God restores his own children. Now, the principle by which God disciplines, exercises discipline in the life of a believer, is stated in many places in the Bible. I quote it from a number of places today, but perhaps where it's most clear is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, where we read, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." Now, think of what is happening in this moment where Nathan speaks to David. Nathan looks into the eyes of David. "You are the man." Nathan speaks the very word of God to David. And so for David, what is his experience? He hears the very voice of God through the prophet, the word of God indicting him on the sins that he has covered up and sought merely to move on from. In other words, in this moment, David's palace, where this scene takes place, is, as it were, turned into God's own courtroom, and the charges against David are read. And what is the charge? Verse 9. "You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have killed him with the sword." Verse 10. "Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house." Do you see how God's discipline is a direct reflection of David's own sin? "You've sinned with the sword. Now you're going to find that you live with the sword. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. That which a man sows, that will he also reap." Now, this is a very important principle in the Bible, and I want us to grasp it, and then I want to apply it in two particular ways. But let me give to you another place where the Bible states this very simply, and that is in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19. Jeremiah 2 and verse 19, we read these words, "Your own wickedness will correct you." Now, let me give you an illustration of that from the Bible, and we're going to see it, of course, illustrated again in the life of David in the weeks that lie ahead. But do you remember the story of Jacob? Now, what was Jacob's great sin? It was that he was a deceiver. He was really good at it. Jacob was the kind of person who could pull the wool over anyone's eyes. The sort of person who could look you in the eye and lie to your face and you would not know, even a flicker looking into his eyes, that he was not telling you the truth. He was the master of deception. He deceived his own father and thereby got the blessing that would have gone to his brother. He impersonated his brother as his father's eyesight was failing. His brother was a hairy man. You might remember the story. And so Jacob puts animal skins so that the father will be deceived. He was the master deceiver. He loved deception. He was really good at it. And how did the discipline of God, how was that discipline exercised in Jacob's life? The answer is that what he had sown, he actually reaped. And you remember how some years later, he's on the other side of a great deception when his father-in-law, Laban, who has promised to marry his daughter, Rachel, to Jacob, deceives Jacob on his own wedding day. And after that day, Jacob discovers that he is not married to Rachel at all. He's been married off to her sister, Leah. And it brings untold agonies into his life. And you remember how years later the same thing happened again. With his own children, his own sons came to him. And they said to Jacob, their father, "Now Joseph, your dearly loved son, he's been killed by wild animals. And here's his robe. And you see that it has blood all over it." And Jacob experiences grief for years. Why? Because he's on the other side of a horrible deception. I'll tell you, by the end of Jacob's life, there was no sin that he would have hated more than deception. God dealt with him in such a way that he came to hate the sin he used to love. And you see, that's how the discipline of God operates in the life of a believer.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Repentance. We're going to pause right here, but we'll get back to this message from 2 Samuel in just a moment. Hey, if you joined us late, you have to leave early, or you want to go back and listen again, you can always do that at our website. Just come to openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. But this message was one of the most listened to, downloaded, and requested messages the past year. So we've taken this one and the other top nine, and we put them together in a 10-part series called Listener Favorites. This is our gift to you as you give a gift of any amount and support the ministry this month. Find out more or give online at openthebible.org. Again, that's openthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, let's apply that principle that's very clear in the Bible. Your own sins will correct you. Let's apply it in these two ways. First, knowing that principle in the Bible will be a restraint to you when you are tempted to sin. Listen to how our Lord Jesus puts the same principle. He says this, "With the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Or he says it again this way, "Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them." Now you see the point. The principle is that your own sin will correct you. So at a time when you may be tempted to act with harshness or deception or any form of unkindness, ask yourself, how would it be if I was on the receiving end of this? Would I want to be on the other side of this? If I go down the road of this form of action and it comes back upon me in my life, is that something that I would welcome or is that something I would shun? And let therefore that principle act as a restraint to you in times of temptation. Your own sin will correct you. That's how God's governance works in regards to his own children in this world. That's how God brings us to a place where we really hate what we used to love. And you see it in the life of Jacob, and we're going to see exactly how it worked out in the life of David in the weeks that lie ahead in this series. Now let me apply this very important Bible principle that isn't spoken about very often, I fear. Let me apply it in this way, by way of help and encouragement. I want to speak right now to the person in the congregation today who feels, wow, I can see this in my life. I can see that I'm under the discipline of God right now. I can see that I am reaping what I have sown, and it's not pretty, and it is very painful. Is there any help, and is there any hope, and is there any encouragement for me? Yes, there is. Listen. The Lord disciplines the one he loves, the book of Hebrews says. The fact that God is exercising discipline in your life means he has not given you up. It does mean that he has future work for you to do. And he is committed to purging out of your soul the love of a particular sin to make you a different and a better man or woman. There's a comment from Dr. R.T. Kendall that I found very helpful. It's in his book on Jonah, who, of course, also experienced the discipline of God. And experienced it because God wanted to bring him back, because there was more work that God had for him to do. God didn't give Jonah up the same way as he's not giving you up. And Kendall says this: God's chastening, that is his discipline, is not meted out in proportion to our sins. You have to understand this. This is not retribution. These are two different things. God's discipline is not retribution. It's not meted out as punishment in relation to our, or in proportion to our sins. But God's discipline is in proportion to the lesson we have to learn. And the greater the work that is ahead of us, the greater the trial right now. You see, restoring is more than forgiving. It's not less, it's more. Restoring involves purging out of the heart that which brought a person to love a particular thing that was a scorning of the Lord. To make you hate what you used to love. And that it is for that purpose and with that goal that God's discipline is exercised in the life of a believer. That's why it's exercised in this way, that you reap what you sow, so that you actually come to hate what you used to love. The Lord disciplines those who he loves. And if you're saying today, boy, I can see this pattern in my own life, then thank God for this. It means you are a child of God. It means that he has not given you up. It means that he will not let you go. It means that he has work yet for you to do. And so receive this from the scriptures. All discipline seems painful at the time, the Bible says, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. How does God restore? Thank God he restores. Thank God it's not retribution and it's not renunciation. It's restoration. That's what God's doing. And how does he do it? He speaks. And he disciplines. And number three, he forgives. He forgives. David said to Nathan, verse 13, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. I've been very struck as I pondered this over these last days about the difference between Saul and David. So you remember in the story of Saul that Saul broke the law of God and it was all over for him. The Lord has rejected you. There was no repentance from Saul. There was no restoration of Saul. But when David sinned, God went after him. When David sinned, God spoke to him. When David sinned, God disciplined him. When David sinned, God forgave him. Why did God do that for David? And the answer surely has to be this, that God had bound himself to David with a covenant promise. We looked at that a while ago in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 14. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And notice this, when he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, but my steadfast love will not depart from him. God says to David, I'm binding myself to you in a covenant promise in which I'm a father. And I'll treat you like a father treats a dearly loved son. That will involve discipline where there is iniquity, but my love I will never, never, never take from you. And we saw when we looked at that promise that it all related to what God would one day do in regards to the line of David to which he committed himself. Someone would come into that line and his kingdom would be established forever. David's greater son would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Lord Jesus Christ, who never sinned, would be the one who would go to the cross and would die for the sins of others. So when God says to David here, the Lord has put away your sin. Where did God put his sin? God put his sin on Jesus. He bore our sin in his body on the tree, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The covenant promise that God made to David pointed to Jesus. And David is included in the covenant promise of the Father's commitment to his own Son. And everyone who looks in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ is included in that promise as well. For someone who is smarting under the discipline of God, I want to say today, that in Jesus Christ you are a child of God. That in Jesus Christ God has put away your sin. That in Jesus Christ he still has work for you to do. And in Jesus Christ he will never, never, never let you go.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Repentance. It's from 2 Samuel chapter 12, and we've been looking at how God does restore after repentance. We've seen the power of God's Word to bring change, to bring discipline, and the promise of God's Word that brings hope. Well, maybe you want to go back and listen to this broadcast again. You can always do that at our website. It is openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Maybe you want to go back and listen to this message in its entirety. Let me throw out this idea. This message, Repentance, was one of the most listened to messages of this past year. So we've taken this message and the other top nine, and we bundled them together in a series we're calling Listener Favorites. Give a gift of any amount, support the ministry of Open the Bible, and we're going to send you Listener Favorites as our way of saying thanks. Being a listener-supported ministry, we do depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station, to make the programs available through the app, online, and whatever way you may have connected with this ministry. So if you're benefiting from listening to Pastor Colin's teaching, I want to invite you to give a gift today. And as our way of saying thanks, we're going to send you Listener Favorites 2022. Some of the other topics besides repentance in this series include heaven, how we make progress in our Christian life, what do you do when you feel like giving up, and how to overcome your fears. Simply ask about Listener Favorites when you call with your gift. Our toll-free number is 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, and our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Everlasting life and salvation from the final judgment of Almighty God are yours by believing. discover what it means to believe next time on Open the Bible.